Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Good morning. This is the day that Jehovah has made, and I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. I bless the Almighty Creator, Elohim. I bless his name. Thank him for this gracious and great rising morning. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Oh, magnify Jehovah with me. Let us exalt his name together. He is worthy of the praise. He is worthy of the glory. He is worthy of the honor. I just love and appreciate him this morning. Hallelujah. He didn't have to wake me up. He didn't have to wake you up, but he did. And I'm so glad he did. I'm just grateful to the Father for all who decided to tune in on Crown Talking Drums Radio today. Hallelujah. Made a conscious decision to fit this time in your schedule. It doesn't matter. I'm not really sure what part of the city or country or where you may be residing right now, whether you're tuning in from, listening in live or listening to the recorded broadcast. It may be the middle of the day or late in the night for someone. You know what? But I'm just glad. The live time here where I'm located right now is early Sunday morning, October the 29th. Yes, it's the last Sunday of the month and the beginning of a week. It's just good to be here. Hallelujah. One of the ladies at the assembly says that all the time, and that's just, it's so true. It's good to be here. It's good to be alive one more day where we get to breathe the air of our Father. Hallelujah. Yes. So I just want to welcome you to for such a time as this radio broadcast hour. Hallelujah. My name is Sarepta Cunningham, and I'm grateful. Hallelujah. Grateful, yes, once again, for Elohim granting me another opportunity, hallelujah, to share of his goodness, his faithfulness, hallelujah. He's good. His love, his never-failing love, is unconditional. He doesn't love us based off condition. He loves us because he is love. Amen. He loves us. Yes, he sent his son to die for us, to shed his blood. Hallelujah. To give up his life. That's how much he loves us. He loved us and he loves us. Isn't that wonderful? So I'm just grateful. Hallelujah. Even the willingness to share and to encourage others. And myself, I'm not just encouraging you, I'm encouraging me too, because a lot of times I don't know what the Father's going to say. Hallelujah. So he blesses me and helps me along the way, even as I'm sharing, you know, his truth, amen, with others. His life-changing truth, it never changes. It remains the same. His life changing truth, it elevates us. Amen. It encourages us. It brings the very life of the Father himself to the front of the scene. Amen. Always, most time I'm saying to the forefront. It brings him to the front of the scene. Amen. And yes, it cuts that sin. Anything in our lives that doesn't need to be, that needs to be exposed, that doesn't need to be in our lives, his word cuts it. It shows it to us. Amen. But it's up to us what you're going to do with it. Amen. It's up to us to make the change. Hallelujah. Amen. We have to choose to change. Amen. Are we going to remain the same? Hallelujah. I want to change as he's changing us daily from the inside out. Amen. I just love it. Amen. We should be seeing a transformation. We should be seeing ourselves change. Amen. That's part of this walk. and this journey that we have. Now, we may have some listening in that have not even accepted Yeshua Messiah, the Son of Elohim, God, our God, the Almighty Creator. I call him by his Hebrew name. Amen. Elohim. Yes. Hallelujah. You don't hear people saying that name out of just throwing it out in space. Or, you know, sometimes you hear people cussing and fussing 1 minute and then they're saying, God, the next. What God are you talking about? Well, see, I want you to know which one I'm talking about. The creator of the universe, Elohim. Hallelujah. That's who he is. Yes. And I just left his name. And I love it. Though he has many names to describe his characteristics and who he is. Hallelujah. But Elohim is his name. And that's the name he said not to change. But hey, it got changed to God. Amen. Over the time, but I just want to give it, put it in its correctness. And I'm just glad this morning, like I was saying, someone who may be listening may not have accepted his son into their heart, into their life, to come in and take lordship, be the Jehovah over every area of your life. Well, it's not too late. I'm glad you're here. If you're hearing the sound of my voice right now, the Father's right here. He's waiting, hallelujah, for you with his arms wide open, hallelujah, to you. He's saying, come on in. Yes, he enjoys feasting with us, those of us who've already made the Son our personal Savior. Amen. We get to spend that time with the Father anytime. 24/7, 365 days in the year. Some years it's a leap year and it's 366 days. He wants us to acknowledge him every day. Amen. To seek him first every day, not just when we have a need. Amen. Or when we think he needs to hear from us. No, he wants to hear from us every day. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm just glad we're all here. Amen. The Son came to restore us back. Yeshua Messiah, he came. Hallelujah. To restore us back to the Father. He's the only way in. There's no other way in to make it in to heaven, to that new heaven and the new earth that's going to be created. The only way in is through the Son. Hallelujah. So I'm just grateful this morning for those of us who've already come into the faith. We already believe in the Son of the Almighty. My. We're already there. Hallelujah. The Son, yes, he is the Savior of this world. He didn't just die for me or those of us who've already accepted the Savior. He died, hallelujah, for the entire world. Amen. And that's the blessing of it all. Amen. I'm just grateful this morning as the Father sees fit. Amen. As I'm led by his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, his Ruach Kodesh. Amen. Hallelujah. Ruach. That's the Spirit. Hallelujah. Holy Kodesh. When you put it together, you say it a little different when you say the Hebrew word for Holy Spirit, but I'm just grateful this morning that we're going to talk about some good news as he sees fit, as he leads and guides. Hallelujah. I'm just grateful for the anointed one who was sent, and then he chose us. Hallelujah. Yes, because you're listening, you've been chosen. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful to know? But it's up to you, yes, to choose to walk out, to choose to change and walk out, hallelujah, this journey with his help. Amen. And I'm just grateful this morning with so much. Yeah, it's a lot going on, but hallelujah, we're going to talk about that good news. Amen. To overpower all the bad news and the negativity that we're hearing about. Some of them we may be experiencing firsthand in our families, in our immediate home. You know, we may be experiencing some chaos and some turmoil and some type of war in our home, not just outside of the wars in Ukraine and Russia, but you're not hearing about that too much anymore. You're hearing more so about Israel and Hamas, but it's still a war going on in Ukraine and Russia. Guess what? It's still wars going on in our households, in our family members, with someone we know about, on our jobs. There's some wars going on. Oh, my. But we're going to share some good news that's going to help us, equip us to walk out throughout these wars. Amen. I'm just glad. I don't know what the Father's going to do, but I'm excited. Let's just have a word of prayer. Amen. I'm excited in Him. I'm rejoicing in Him. Heavenly Father, we just come before You today to say thank You. Thank You for waking us up, yes, to this brand new day. You didn't have to do it, but You did. I'm so glad You woke us up. Hallelujah. And we get to experience what You would have us experience another day. You're with us. You're right here with us. You're omnipresent. You never leave us, nor will You ever forsake us. And we thank You for that. We just thank You that You woke us up and we're clothed in our right state of mind. We thank You. Hallelujah. We thank You that if it had not been for You on our side, we don't know where we'd be. We thank You for Your new mercies today, where we're not going to get what we might deserve. Hallelujah. Every day is a day of mercy. You said it in Your word. This is a new day that You've given us Your mercy, also Your grace. This just goes right along with it, where we're getting what we may not deserve. Oh my, You're just so loving. You just think about us and have us on Your mind all the time. Help us not to take You for granted and all that You've done for us and doing for us right now. Hallelujah. Help us not to take Your love for granted, Father. Help us to understand how much You love us. That's what helps me to love You even the more. I'm understanding even the more how much You love me. Help us, Father, to understand that even the more. Help us to be thankful and not take for granted that You woke us up another day and we're in our right state of mind. Yes, we have the use and the activities of our limbs. Hallelujah. Our senses are in operation. Thank You, Father. We can see, smell, hear, taste, and when we touch, we can feel. Thank You, Father. Somebody didn't wake up with that this morning. Maybe someone listening in has lost a sensitivity of smell or taste or feeling. Father, we don't know, but we just thank You this morning. Hallelujah. I know I do. Hallelujah. That You are our sole provider. You provide all things. You are our Jehovah. And we thank You. Amen. By Your grace. Hallelujah. We woke up with a roof over our head, and we thank You for that. We didn't wake up laying down on a cardboard box and trying to wrap ourselves, though the temperatures are kind of wonky around here. It's been like in the 80s, and it's in October. This weather just fickles all over the place, but I'm thinking it's supposed to even get cold next week. Down in the 50s and 60s are going to be the high. This weather's just all over the place. But Father, we thank You. You remain consistent. You're not all over the place. Hallelujah. We can learn that about Your character as we spend that time with You. And we just thank You this morning. Hallelujah. As we're about to embark in Your presence, I just ask, hallelujah, Father, with Your guidance and the aid and the help of Your Holy Spirit, that You would allow us to speak Your word to all the ears out there that's listening. Hallelujah. To the people who desire to be encouraged to move on forward in Your word, to be elevated even the more in You. So You're welcome. Yes, Father. Allow Your Holy Spirit to infiltrate this time with Your presence. Hallelujah. For such a time as this, we pray this prayer, hallelujah, in Your Son's name. Amen, amen. And to You, Father, be all the glory. Hallelujah. We're just thanking You for this time. Hallelujah. I'm just glad this morning, saints. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm calling you saints. Set apart ones. Those of us who made the choice to live a set apart holy life. Amen. Following after the laws and the commandments of our heavenly King. Huh? Amen. That's what it's all about. That's the only way we're going to be able to please Him, is do what his word says. We can't just take some of it in and throw out the rest. We need the whole book from the beginning, Genesis, to the end of Revelation. Everything in between. We need to know the history and understand why we walk like we walk and why we believe what we believe. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Father just sent me today just to remind us. It was something that's been taking place and going on with me all week and all well past couple of weeks, really. And he that word just came intensified to me. Like I had a dream over. I'm gonna give it to you in a minute. He giving me to give you a little story right now. But I understand it even the more when I woke up this morning. Hallelujah. But over in the morning, let me see, it was over in Saturday morning, the Sabbath morning, I woke up about 4 o'clock in the morning. And when I woke up, I couldn't move. I was just stuck. I was just froze. It was like, and I could hear like a sound, I don't know, it was a breathing onto my right side. And I couldn't even move. And it's like I was hearing a light walking. And I was trying to call on the name of Yeshua. It was like my mouth was stuck and froze. But my mind was thinking. I was thinking the word. The word was coming through my mind. But my mouth wouldn't open. No words come out. Hallelujah. So as soon as I got released, I was able to move. I began to call on Yeshua. I was trying to call on Yeshua. Call on Jesus. Nothing was coming out of my mouth. Hallelujah. But when I got that breakthrough, I took authority over that demonic spirit of force that was whatever trying to come up in this house. It had no room. I said, you have no place. No, I took authority. I began to rebuke that demon, hallelujah, and bind it up because I knew I had the authority to do it. Amen. And then not only that, but even as I laid down on last night, didn't even get to sleep. And that spirit tried to come on me again. I said, oh, no. I was laying on my back, and I couldn't move. I was froze again. I said, what is this? Am I supposed to? You had authority when I was loose from it. It was like I could feel it like trickling down through my body. It was a weird feeling, and it was like I was froze stuck again. Hallelujah. When I got conscious again, when I was able to release, I took authority again. So I understand why the Father gave me this word. Hallelujah. And you know what that word is? Rebuke. Oh, my. It's past time, saint, for us to rebuke some things. Oh, my. And I tell you, I told that devil, I said, you a liar. You've been a liar. You're going to continue to be a liar. Nothing's going to change about that. Amen. You wanted to overtake, hallelujah, Lucifer. You wanted to overtake the throne. You wanted to be God yourself. You're still a liar, and there's nothing that's going to make any truth about you. And hallelujah, the truth is in the word. And I'm grateful this morning that I get to operate in the word. Hallelujah. I get to share the word with you. You get to operate in the word. Hallelujah. And you get to share the word with others yourself. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful to know? But I'm just happy this morning. Hallelujah. I'm looking at the wrong notes over here. I had the wrong paper set out over here. But I'm just grateful. Even as I was looking up that word rebuke, hallelujah, and it's past time for it, because I believe we forgot. The Father wants me to remind us that authority that we have to rebuke, hallelujah. When we're rebuking something, hallelujah, amen. Rebuking means to convict of something. To correct. That's what rebuke means. It means to rebuke, to correct. It means to chastise. It just means to bring into correction of some things. Amen. And that word, which I forgot to write down, I was so excited about the word. I was going to give you what the word was in Hebrew, or what the word was in Greek. And I'm just grateful this morning. I'm looking it up right now, though that doesn't matter. But I'm just grateful that we have the authority to rebuke. Amen. We can chastise. We can take authority over. Amen. We can condemn and call things down, and we can take authority over. We have the example, even for today, of Yeshua. Amen. He rebuked. Amen. A lot of different things, and we're going to get into that. But not only was rebuking taking place in the day of the time that Yeshua walked this earth, but rebuking was taking place even at the beginning of time. Amen. Elohim, our God, he was rebuking. Amen. He didn't take no mess, and he still don't take no mess. Hallelujah. And he don't want us to take no mess. Though when we rebuke, sometimes we have to do it in a soft manner. We're going to see all of that. Hallelujah. But then sometimes we have to do it. Hallelujah. The kingdom of Elohim suffers violence. Yes. But the violence, we must take it by force. Amen. Sometimes there's some things that we have to go into force with. Amen. When it comes to spiritual warfare. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just grateful this morning. Hallelujah. For this word rebuke. Hallelujah. To correct. Hallelujah. To chasten. Hallelujah. And that's what it's all about. Correcting and chastening. Hallelujah. Is what rebuking is. Yakov. Yakov. Amen. I believe that's one of the Old Testament words in Hebrew for rebuke. Yaha. Amen. I'm just grateful this morning that we can, hallelujah, stand on this word. And one of the first passages of scripture that I believe we're going to go to first, I wasn't sure. I wrote scriptures down. Didn't know how the Father was going to lead me. I said, okay, I'm going to put it down. You take me where you want me to go. So in the beginning, hallelujah, even as I was sharing, rebuke was taking place, even in the beginning of time. And there's several stories, but one that had came to my mind was the one about Laban and let's just go to the scripture. Yeah. When Laban and Jacob, yeah, when Laban rebuked Jacob, when Laban was rebuked himself. Amen. And a lot of us know that story starting at, it's prior to the 31st chapter of Genesis. But I'm just reminded, that story I was reminded of, how you're familiar with it, I'm sure. Maybe someone's not, though. So we're going to kind of read, but Jacob had worked for two of Laban's daughters. He wanted Rachel. He desired Rachel. But Laban kind of crisscrossed Leah first, and then he had to work. He ended up working 14 years for both daughters. He had to work for Laban. And then he kept changing his wages. He just was doing them wrong, treating him wrong. My. But then Jacob came up with a plan when he switched the crop and he was able to increase. He knew how to do what he was doing. He was of the Father. Amen. He trusted in Elohim, and Elohim led him. And that's one thing Laban recognized, that Jacob, the God of who you serve. Amen. He recognized that, and the Father helped him to recognize that. Now, I wanted to start reading this at the 22nd verse. But I think that's going to take us too long. Amen. But in your spare time, I really wanted to break into it right there. So I'm trying to see where I can start. Amen. This was when Jacob had left. After all that, you can go back to the prior chapters and just read this story in its entirety. Amen. I think it starts maybe in the 28th or 29th chapter of Genesis. Amen. Probably prior to that. But this is just a real good story, amen, of history that we need to know and how the Father still works. And my point is, he was still rebuking then. Amen. He's not going to change. Hallelujah. He remains the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But you know what? I think I am going to go ahead and read this. Starting at the 22nd verse in Genesis 31. Laban didn't learn of their flight for 3 days. then taken several men with him. This was when Jacob had left and took all his glory. He took his wives and everything, grandchildren and everything. let's start back up and say, so one day, Laban was out shearing sheep. Jacob set his wives and sons on camels and fled without telling Laban his intentions. He drove the flock before him. Jacob's flocks had gotten there at Padan Aram and took everything he owned and started out to return to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. So he fled with all his possessions, and Rachel stole her father's household gods and took them with her. Isn't that something? And crossed the Euphrates River and headed for the territory of Gilead. I started at the 17th verse. Laban didn't learn of their flight for 3 days. Then, taking several men with him, he set out in hot pursuit and caught up with them 7 days later at Mount Gilead. That night, Elohim appeared to Laban in a dream. Now, Laban had other gods. He had idols. We already knew that. Rachel had took some. She stole them. She took some of his stuff from him, things that he was serving, and she shouldn't have took it, but she did. So the Elohim appeared before Laban in a dream. Isn't that something? The father would give a dream to a heathen. he will show them, don't you touch my anointing. Come on now. Amen. Watch out what you say to Jacob is what he said. Don't give him your blessing and don't curse him either. Now I'm reading this out of a Life Application Bible. Laban finally caught up with Jacob as he was camped at the top of a ridge. Laban, meanwhile, camped below him in the mountains. What do you mean by sneaking off like this? Laban demanded. Are my daughters prisoners captured in a battle that you have rushed them away like this? Why didn't you give me a chance to have a farewell party with singing and orchestra and harp? Why you think, you know, my question immediately when I got to that was, I wouldn't have done that either. As much as wrong as you've done to me, he had to get out of there. Why didn't you let me kiss my grandchildren and tell them goodbye? This is a strange way to act. I could crush you, but the Elohim of your father appeared to me last night and told me, be careful not to be too hard on Jacob. Isn't that something? My. The father will speak to a heathen however he chooses. He tells us in his word that even when a man's ways please Jehovah, when your ways please him, he said he'd make even his enemies to be at peace with you. Isn't that something? Right here, Laban wanted to destroy him, but he couldn't. He was pre-warned. If he had, he probably would have been struck down immediately. He knew not to mess with the Elohim of Jacob's father. Hallelujah. Isn't that a powerful blessing to know? But see here. Though you feel you must go and long so intensely for your childhood home, why have you stolen my idols? So he knew some of his possessions were gone. I sneaked away because I was afraid, Jacob answered. I said to myself, he'll take his daughters from me by force. But as for your household idols, a curse upon anyone who took them, let him die. If you find a single thing we stolen from you, I swear before all these men, I'll give it back without question. For Jacob didn't know that Rachel had taken them. Laban went first into Jacob's tent to search there, then into Leah's, and then Rachel's tent. Rachel, remember, was the one who had stolen the idols. She had stuffed them into her camel saddle and now was sitting on them. So although Laban searched the tent thoroughly, he didn't find them. Forgive my not getting up, Father, Rachel explained, but I'm having my monthly. So Laban didn't find him. See, she was saying she was on the dock. She was having her cycle. Amen. She was unclean at that time, so she wasn't going to get up. Amen. She probably was lying. Now Jacob got mad. What did you find? He demanded of Laban. What is my crime? You have come rushing after me as though you were chasing a criminal and have searched through everything. Now, put everything I stole out here in front of us before your men and mine for all to see and decide whose it is. 20 years I've been with you, and all of that time I care for your ewes and your goats so that they produce healthy offspring, and I never touched one ram of yours for food. If any were attacked and killed by wild animals, did I show them to you and ask you to reduce the count of your flock? No, I took the loss. You made me pay for every animal stolen from the flock, whether I could help it or not. I worked for you through the scorching heat of the day, through the cold and the sleepless night. Yes, 20 years, 14 of them earning your two daughters, and 6 years to get the flock. And you have reduced my wages 10 times. In fact, except for the grace of Elohim, the Elohim of my grandfather Abraham, even the glorious Elohim of Isaac, my father, you would have sent me off with a penny to my name. See, he knew, but Elohim has sent your cruelty and my hard work. He has seen your cruelty and my hard work, and that is why he rebuked you last night. Isn't that something? See, that's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Even in the Old Testament, Elohim himself was rebuking. He rebuked Laban, hallelujah, for how he had treated him. But see, one thing, how he had treated Jacob, but Jacob endured the process. But see, even within that, if you go back and read the story, even how he mixed up the camels and how the father showed him what to do, where he could come out with increase and he was going to be able to have that wealth, amen, for his family, amen. He was ready to go back home. He had endured it long enough, amen, and the father rebuked on his behalf. What does that tell us? Saint, that tells us that the Father is always fighting for us. He's not changed. He's remained the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And then again, I was reminded of the story, hallelujah, because rebuke can come in so many different facets. Amen. Correction can come in so many different. This is where the Father corrected Laban. He let him know, forewarned him, don't you say nothing bad. And don't you say nothing good. You be careful how you handle my servant. I tell you, I'm telling you right now, I'm giving you a pre-warning. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage us today. Hallelujah. That we want to serve notice on that devil and let him know. Give him a pre-warning. He better watch how he deals with us, how he tries to come against us, because he can't come unless he gets some kind of permission anyhow. And sometime he'll come if we've opened up a door to let him in. But then, like I said, I was reminded of another story that was also in Genesis, when I was reminded of the story of Joseph, the dream that he had. Remember Joseph and his brothers, how they put him in the pit, and he had these dreams. They didn't like him no way, because they saw how his father favored him so much, and I believe he favored him so much, amen, that he favored him so much because, amen, he had him at an elder age. You know, he was his baby, amen, and he had him at an elderly age, amen. But it's just a blessing. So here was Joseph telling a dream to his father Jacob. Now, I'm not going to read that story in its entirety, but I just want to read, Genesis 37 and 10. I just wanted to give you kind of a little backdrop of it. Amen. 37 and 10, and I had to turn to that. Let me see. And he told it to his father. Now, this is, let's back up a couple of verses. Let's back up to 37 and 5. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him still the more. See, they already had a problem with him. If you go back to this story, you'll see how they saw how their father favored him. Amen. Amen. And he said to them, listen now, and hear, I pray you, this dream that I have dreamed. We, brothers, were binding sheaves in the field. And behold, my sheep arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheep stood round about my sheep and bowed down. His brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or are you going to have us as your subject and dominate us? And they hated him all the more for his dreams and for what he said. Ninth verse. But Joseph dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brothers also. I think he talked a little bit too much. Sometimes we have these dreams that the Father tells us, amen, and we need to hush it up. Sometimes we need to watch and be selective of who we share and what the Father is sharing with us. This is a lesson for us, amen. And though we're talking about rebuke, all this is coming into play. Amen. Joseph dreamed yet another dream, and he said, see here, I have dreamed again, and behold, this time, not only 11 stars, but also the sun and the moon bowed down and did reverence to me. And he told it to his father as well as his brethren. But his father rebuked him and said to him, what is the meaning of this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow down ourselves to the earth and do homage to you? Joseph's brothers envied him and were jealous of him, but his father observed the saying and pondered over it. Though he rebuked him, he said it openly, he rebuked him, he kind of chastised him, he was asking him questions about it, you know, he wanted to know, what is this? But you know, he kept it in the back of his mind. He pondered on that thing. Sometimes, amen, when the father gives up a word, and yet, that's something. I started reading on the book about dreams, the mystery of our dreams. Amen, because I'm one that dreams, but a lot of times I don't remember. And remember what they are specifically. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. So the father has instructed me to keep a notepad by my bed. I got to be obedient. The notepad's not there yet. I just got these instructions out yesterday. So I said, okay, I need to put that notepad by my bed. I'm going to do that today. But even this, I did not know this part was going to even come out. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for how you continue to bring things together. Amen. But there's a mystery in the dreams that we have. And the Father speaks in dreams. Amen. He's speaking in our dreams. Sometimes he gives us a warning. Sometimes he shows us what's going to happen ahead of time. Amen. And it's up to us to understand what's really going on. But see, even in him giving us revelations, however he chooses to give them, amen. And when he gives us a word, take time to seek him first. I mean, I'm sure Joseph was so, he was just young. And he was just excited, I'm sure. He was youngin', he was excited, and he just wanted to share. He didn't know what he was at that time. I'm sure he was just so tender in his walk. We don't know all the details, but he was just excited. But he talked a little bit too much, and he didn't realize. He's thinking, well, you know, I'm talking to my brothers. They're going to understand. They already didn't like him, but he didn't really know that. He probably couldn't see that. You know, they were older, much older than him. Amen. So even in our own lives, sometimes our siblings, we don't know how they feel. Most of us are grown and older, but sometimes we can see civil rivalry in our children. We see how they come against each other sometimes, how one tries to tell and get one in trouble all the time. There's a reason for that. Our grandchildren, some of us may even see this in our grandchildren as we're older. But if we have that spirit to discern as praying grandmothers and grandfathers and grandmothers, we can see what's really going on. Amen. So it's up to us, amen, to correct, to rebuke. See, we still have this authority all the time. And it's past time for us to do it. That's why this generation has gotten, I know social media, yeah, we're putting it on social media. It has a lot to do with it. But if we as the parents and the grandparents stay in our place, have people of the faith, amen. Regardless of where your child wants you, well, I don't want to say nothing. My son or my daughter might get upset. Oh, no, we better come out of that timidity. That's why this world is going where it's going. That's why the disrespect is so granular now. It's so much more on this earth today because we're not rebuking. We're not correcting, hallelujah, as we should be. Amen. We have lost that. So many areas we have the authority to do that. First and foremost, hallelujah, it's because it's in our DNA now. We're new believers in the faith. We're believers in the Messiah. We're following and patterning our lives after him. Yeshua came to set the example, to be the model, and he demonstrated it very well. Amen. We have so many examples we can follow in the scriptures, not just from the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. This was Genesis was part of the Torah. Amen. Amen. Part of where the covenants were written. The rest, the first five books is the law. Amen. The law. amen, that we are not to dismount and do away with. We want to pull out of there from time to time anyway, those books and confess this, confess that. But yet and still we say, oh, we don't have to do the law. We don't have to keep the laws anymore. We're under grace. No, I'm going to probably say that a lot. Probably almost every message that may come out. Because that truth that has been taught, that we're just under grace because of that statement that Paul made, is a lie. Amen. Paul made that statement. But you got to go into detail to see why he made that statement. Amen. I believe it was in Romans. Maybe Romans 6. I may be wrong. You may have to do a scripture search. I'm going to have to bring that back out. I'm going to have to know the clarity as I'm explaining this going forward. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But anyway, the law we're still supposed to follow. Amen. The commandments we're still supposed to keep. They have not been done away with because why would the Father tell her, I've not changed. I remain the same. Nothing about me changed. And when Yeshua came, what did he come teaching? He came teaching the law, putting things in order, putting the house back in order because so much was in chaos. The Jews were setting things up the way they wanted to with their tradition, man's tradition. Amen. And they were not after they already knew. Because the Old Testament had already been, but they still set up their own ways of doing things. And Yeshua came, that's why they hated him. He came to break it up. He came to set things in order. And they did not like him. They despised him. So a lot of times when we go about rebuking, correcting, amen, even when it's time when we do it tenderly and in love, amen, we're not going to be liked. But that's okay. Hallelujah. I'm not living to serve or to please man. I'm living to please my Father. That's why it's of vital importance that we stay connected to the true vine. Amen. We're the branches. He's the husbandman. Amen. He's the gardener. We're the branches. Amen. And what's in us and not of that should be of us, he's going to remove, he's going to prune, he's going to tune it up. Amen. I want him to tune up every bad area in my life. Amen. I pray you do too. Amen. Hallelujah. So with the example of Yeshua, I had some other scriptures written down. We're going to go to Matthew. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Amen. Matthew, the 7th chapter. And we're going to start at the 14th verse. Is that right? Matthew 7, 18. Is that the right passage? Matthew 17. That's where we are. Matthew 17. Hallelujah. Starting at the 14th verse. And when they come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Jehovah, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Yeshua answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Yeshua rebuked the devil. There you go, rebuking that devil. And he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Yeshua apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Yeshua said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Amen. See, we have the authority to rebuke, even when a sickness is on someone. We have that authority to correct, to command, to speak to that demonic force. That demonic, whatever it is, commanded to go. And it's because of unbelief that we're not doing that. That's why I know the Father said, rebuke, it's past time. In other words, it's past time for us to do it. We're falling back. We have to get back at it. He's been reminding me, and he brought it all back to my mind. I've been rebuking a lot of different things here recently. And in them two instances, he reminded me even the more. Well, the one instance was a reminder. But then it happened as soon as I laid down on last night. He'd already given me this word, rebuke. But I didn't know where he was going to go. I had to go to sleep on it. I guess the enemy said, oh, you going to shut up? No, I'm not. I'll get you. No, you won't. I don't belong to you. That's what we have to recognize, saints. We don't belong to him. When he comes and brings some type of some report or whatever up, it's not of the Father. It's an evil report for him. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? We have authority and dominion to decree, to declare, which includes rebuking. And in that rebuking, we're gonna command, we're going to correct, we're going to chastise all that falls under that word. Huh. Just want to remind us of that rebuking, that authority that we have. It's awesome. It's wonderful. And I'm glad about it. I'm glad the Father has given us that option and reminded us. He's reminding us even now. Yeshua, as I stated, he's our example. He's the model and the demonstrator. We pattern our lives after his as we're studying through the entire book because he was talked about before he got here. Even in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, he was mentioned over and over. We talked about that a little bit last week when we asked the question, are you chosen? See, you have to know these things. So you know if you're chosen that you have the authority to decree, declare, and rebuke. Amen. Let's go to another passage of Scripture. This is also in Matthew. Matthew, the 8th chapter. Going back up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Your word, yes, sets us free. Your word leads us and guides us into all truth. Amen. Here, we know that we just realized that Yeshua, he rebuked the devils. So that means we can rebuke devils too. We can rebuke devils and demons and sickness and all that. We can rebuke it. We have that authority. Here, we're going to see where Yeshua rebuked the wind and the sea. Start at 23rd verse, Matthew 8. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Jehovah, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? There it is, the unbelief, once again. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? He is expecting them to do it, but they still had unbelief. Isn't this something? Do we still have unbelief today? I believe so. I think that's why we're not seeing a lot of things that the Father said we should be doing. Yeshua came, he said, even greater things than I'm doing, you shall do. He told us that. But where is our belief? He spoke, he commanded, he rebuked that wind. He spoke to it. See, rebuking is so many different facets. That's what I love about it. Because I've been using it in different facets this week. I was rebuking demons. I've been rebuking situations and circumstances. I've been rebuking things trying to come against my body. All different kind of situations, we have that authority to rebuke. Huh. If I'm there, apparently the Father wants me to remind you to be there. Remind you to rebuke. Use that authority. Hallelujah. Thank you for giving it to us, Father. We thank you. Hallelujah. Epitome. That's the Greek word for rebuke. Epitome. I'm just thanking the Father. When we rebuke, sometimes we have to charge at it. We have to go at it straight rebuke. It's a straight charge rebuke. It's a charge. It's a command. Amen. I'm just loving it that we have the authority, charge and command. Let us go to Mark. We have to remember where we are, whose we are. See, when the enemy comes in and gives us even a thought, and we continue to meditate on that thought that's not a thought that will come from the Father, that thought can sometimes overtake us in the moment. And as you keep meditating on that thought, you've forgotten who you are and whose you are. But see, we have to be daily reminded of whose we are. That's why we need to daily get in the book. Devotional, time in prayer, daily. It can't be an every now and again thing. We should start our day off in the word or in prayer. And in the word. If for some reason, there's been mornings I woke up late because I had to go outside the home to a job. I didn't get my time in that I normally get in. And I seem like I'm throwed off a little bit. But as soon as I get a minute, that's on my mind. Even if it's my lunch break, I take that time to get some word in me. Amen. Or if I take a little break before, I'll find something on my Bible app or something, read something in the middle of the morning before lunch break, especially if there's chaos and craziness going on around me. Yes, I'm praying on my way to work, but then a passage of scripture, I want something to meditate on. And a lot of times it may be a daily devotional in the Bible from the Bible app, because I got a couple of different ones on my phone. But a daily devotional, be an on-point word, we got to have it. That's the only way we're going to be able to stand. With all that's going on in this world today, all that we're hearing and seeing, we got to have his word. We're kingdom citizens. And we want to walk that out. We want to continue to be effective kingdom citizens. I don't even think I said that in the introduction today. But guess what? It's coming out now. We want to be effective kingdom citizens. We want to continue to go forth, walking out what the Most High has anointed and appointed us to walk out. He's anointed us. He's appointed us to be kingdom citizens, reigning here on this earth. But a lot of times we're allowing the government to take over, and I trust it's more so in the government and politics. That's sad. Because we're allowing that news and that information to twist our thoughts without renewing our minds in this word. We need this word. That's what renews our mind. Now here, the Messiah had to rebuke. He had to rebuke Peter. Most of us know about that story. Amen, but I'm just going to remind us. Starting at the 31st verse in Mark 8. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Now there was Peter taking his authority. He was rebuking Yeshua, but then Yeshua came back and rebuked him. My. I forgot about that part. Because Peter rebuked him first. He thought he had the authority to do it that way. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou hast savest not the things that be of Elohim, but the things that be of me." And then he called the people unto him and his disciples also, and he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." So see, he's already preparing them. I'm ready to get up out of here. He's been preparing the disciples all along. They were still full of unbelief. And all that he taught them, he would go away and pray, and they couldn't even stay awake. He would come back, and they would be asleep. He would go away and pray directly to the Father with that alone time. Come back, he said, keep a watch, and they would be asleep. They didn't even realize who was amongst them. And even when he went away and came back, they didn't know who he was, whatever about his discipline, however he had changed, his appearance, whatever had changed, because they didn't even recognize him. They didn't know who he was. And he still had to teach them all over again the same stuff he had already taught them. What was going on? That's why the Father is still teaching us today. He keeps telling us some of the same stuff over and over. He wants us to get it. That hadn't changed either. He's saying the same thing over and over. He's rebuking. He's correcting. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't be rebuking us. He wouldn't be chastising us and correcting us. If he didn't love us, I want his correction. I need it, as a matter of fact. I don't want to be walking in my own way. He said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself." It's not about us. When it comes to us, it's about us doing his work, bringing glory and honor to his name, being of service to him. And in doing service unto him, we're serving others. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the good news, the same shall save it. See, we're not God to ourselves. It takes him to change us, but we have to choose to want to be changed. It's still all about choice. Even when it comes to rebuking, we've seen several, probably some of you have even thought, even since we've been talking about rebuke, times this week that you missed a moment you could have rebuked some things. He's given that authority to us to use it for his glory. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's what needs to be reborn. Our soul is real. Needs to be changed from the inside out. He's changing us. He's rearranging us. Our soul is real. That's us. That's our inner being. When I think the soul is around your mind, your thoughts, your will that needs to surrender his will, and your emotional realm. He wants to fine-tune all of that. Some people are led by their emotions. that aren't governed by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. See, we need to govern all that to him. We need to give all that to him. And see, he's had me on conversation this week with people, rebuking some things, reminding them, just giving some correction, but doing it in love. See, something like I said, sometimes it's a command, it's a charge. Rebuke is. Sometimes it's just a correction, because even the scripture tells us, don't rebuke an elder. I think that's in the Proverbs. In other words, you don't just come at charge against someone that's older than you, even though if they're in the wrong. You can talk to them and correct them softly if something's wrong about something and the Holy Spirit is leading you, but you don't take authority over them as your elder. You do it with respect. Amen. Just so many different passages coming to mind when it comes to this word rebuke. And I didn't know I was going to read all this from Mark, but we need to hear it again. I know I do. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is it that you would put in place? Is it another person? Is it your home? Is it your car? Is it stuff? What will you put in exchange for your soul, your very life, who you are? I mean, because this here, this house, this body that we're in, it's just temporary. It houses the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. He's living on the inside of us. That's the Father in us by the person of the Holy Spirit. Godhead bodily. I never read the word Trinity in the Bible, but you hear people say it, and I think that might have come from theology. You know, from theology or theologians, because that tri, that three. But I never read that, so I really don't even say that. But the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead bodily, and he lives on the inside of us, helping us, rebuking us, helping us to rebuke others. Demons and devils, storms, speak to them. We rebuke them. So many facets that we have the authority to rebuke. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I don't want him to be ashamed of me. See, we've talked about this. It's come out in several messages or talks before, or encouragement, whatever you call these, encouragement. I just want to encourage us and remind us. We need this. We need encouragement. But I don't want to, I'm living this life to hear my Father say, well done. I don't want to hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Your inward, your soulless realm was wicked. Your inner heart was wicked. Your inner being was wicked. Though you were outwardly doing, laying hands on the sick and preaching my word, your inner being was wicked. Your motives were wicked. I want to be real, genuine. That's why I believe in being real and keeping it real. When I'm in conversation with people, when I'm talking to them, what you see is what you get with me. I don't want to be change and be this way around these certain people. I see that so much with people. When they're in this gathering, they're this way. When they're around this, they're that way. And then when they're with you, they're a whole nother way. I want to be the same all the time. That's the way my Messiah, he was the same. That's the way the Father is. He never changed, never changes. Some of his methods to reach us might be a little different, but the purpose behind the method will never change. His word never changes. He never changes. So we should never change. We're following after his example. He was the model, and he demonstrated that model. Yeshua demonstrated the model very well of doing the will of his Father. I want to do the will of my Father. I want to do his will. Amen. I want to use every area of authority that he's given me. Let us go to 2 Timothy. This is a very familiar passage of scripture. Amen. 2 Timothy. Whew. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5, I believe, is what we're going to read. This is Paul, of course, we know, talking to Timothy, his son in ministry, so to speak. I guess you would say that was one he trained. He was, you know, he trained so many. Oh, I charge thee therefore before Elohim and Jehovah, Yeshua Messiah, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're going to go back up to that second verse. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You see these instructions? These instructions were written probably over 2,000 years ago. The Old Testament was over 2,000, was before that. This word still reigns today. Paul was forewarning over 2,000 years ago, and we still need to forewarn of these same things that we see taking place today. A lot of people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to know the truth. And then you got pastors in the pulpit preaching stuff they done made up, not even in the book. You hear so much of people saying things, and it's not even in the scriptures. Where's that at? That's what used to make me search out the scripture for myself, because I wanted to make sure what that pastor was saying was right. I don't want to go off any opinion. I want to come off what the book says. We all can give opinions, but let's stick with the word. That's the right opinion. That's the right thought. That's the right action. That's the right way to respond. I believe for every situation we have going on in our lives, or may have going on coming in the future, the word has the solution. We just got to get in there and study it out. There's a solution, because there's nothing new under the sun. What's taking place now has already taken place. Some things are just amplified in the demonic realm. Some things have just been open and exposed. But those things were going on back in biblical times. The days of Sodom and Gomorrah was going on, all the wickedness and all the sexual inactivities and having inordinate sex with babies and all these killings of the babies and taking the kids' head, you know, all kind of stuff like that with divorce. All that was going on then. It's just more prevalent and open today. It's more open. But it was still going on then. Nothing's changed. We just see it more prevalent now. Different laws have been passed and put into action and caused it to be even more free. You know, men marrying men, women marrying women. I mean, women marrying women, men marrying men. Are calling themselves making a covenant with each other. That's abomination to the Father. And we know that. But then you got some pastors and they're okay. Well, you know, no, it's not okay. It's an abomination to our Father. It's stinking to his nostrils. We can't appease that. That's a rip that we need to rebuke that. Can't be in agreement with that. Even if some of us might have a family member that's in that lifestyle, that don't mean we still have to agree with it. One of my sister-in-laws, she came to an agreement. Now, I wouldn't even went to that so-called wedding, woman marrying another woman. I couldn't support that. I don't understand. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to ever get to the point where I have an itching ear to hear what I want to hear that's going to appease my lifestyle or going to appease me for where I'm at because I don't want to line up. No, rebuke me to correction, Father. I want to be corrected. I want to do what's right before you, Father. Amen. That's why that scripture, it tells us, preach that word in season. I like the way the Amplified break. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by and be at hand and ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable. In season and out of season. Come on now. Whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Whether it is welcome or unwelcome. You as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong. That's reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all long suffering and doctrine. But you got to use the right teaching, not your own opinions. Convince them, rebuking, correcting, warning, and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. You never stop. Every opportunity that you give, even if it's to the same person about the same situation, you got to give it as the Holy Spirit gives it from the word, from the doctrine, the teaching, the truth. Not your own opinion. Some people don't want to hear that sound doctrine. They don't want to hear that truth. But you better bring it anyway. I'm going to bring it. I don't know anything else to do. Because if you know it, you better tell it. And if you know it, you better be living it, walking it, talking it, just being it. Think we kind of talked about that a little bit last week. Amen. I'm just thankful to the Father that he's given us the authority to rebuke. Hallelujah. With all long suffering. Sometimes we have personal friends. Sometimes we might not want to hurt their feelings. Hurt my feelings if you need to. If it's going to correct me. If I'm saying something wrong, help correct me. If I'm doing something wrong, help me. Correct me. We are our brother's keeper. Iron sharpens iron. That's one thing his word does. It rebukes us of sin. That's what his word does. It rebukes sin. Anything that's out of the alignment of the Father and his word is sin. And you have to deal with people The Holy Spirit will give you the sensitivity when you have to rebuke. He will show you how to do it. He will give you a sensitivity because you trust in him to help you to do it. You have to trust him every step of the way. That's why he's on the inside of us. He leads us. He guides us. He brings back the words to us, what to our members, what whatever we need to say at whatever time it is, whoever we need to talk to, whatever situation and circumstance we're in. He gives us the ability to rebuke. In love, in charge, with that authority, he's put it in us. And I'm grateful that he's put it in us. Amen. When we're lukewarm, he said, you know, the word says, I wish you'd be hot or cold. Lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He don't want us to be lukewarm, straddling on the fence, so to speak. You know, having one foot in and the other one out, trying to be half obedient. That half obedience is just obedient, period. Disobedient, period. There is no half obedience. You either one or the other. Rebuke. When he's rebuking us. And he does it personally in his word to us, in our personal time with him. He does it personally as he reveals us to ourselves. But he uses people too. He uses people and they come and they will rebuke and correct us. But that's good. I need that. I'm going to say that again because I need it. And you do too, whether you recognize it or not. Anybody that says they don't need any rebuke or correction, they're full of pride. They're full of themselves. And a haughty spirit goes before a fall. And then destruction. My, my, my. I don't want to find myself in that place. I want to hear you, Father. I want to get it. I want to change. I want to change so I can remain. Amen in you. Ecclesiastes, there was a passage in scripture that says, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. I don't want to hear no foolish talking and a whole bunch of gesturing going on around me that don't make no sense. I want to hear some wise counsel and some you know, some wisdom in the word coming forth. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for this time that you shared with us and you've given us this word, rebuke. Thank you for every spiritual rebuke. Thank you for every rebuke that you allow us to have authority and take charge over. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the rebuke where you correct us to be more like your son. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the examples that your son, that Yeshua showed us, that we get to model, pattern our lives after him. He demonstrated quite well through the instructions and the way he walked, the way he talked. Help us to want to be like him. I know when they came out with that saying, I want to be like Mike, I used to say, I want to be like Jesus. That's who I want to be like. I want to be like you. Didn't realize how powerful that was when I was saying that, but I understand it even the more. I want to be like Mike. Then they came out with the term Nike. Just do it. I just want to do what the Father says. I want to do what he says to please him. To be a sweet smelling aroma in his nostrils. Thank you, Father. Help us to appreciate the rebukes that we get. Even when they come across the podium or whoever, the pastor or the apostle, whoever's teaching that word. Help us to receive the rebukes and not take it so personal, so to speak. But know that it's you getting our attention, wanting us to get it right, even in that personal one-on-one time when you rebuke us. Thank you, Father. Help us not to take it for granted. Thank you for that love. You love us so much in that grace. You continue to keep extending to us of your love. Thank you, Father. Your reprimands or help us us. Continue to keep helping us. However you choose to do it, Father. We accept it in the realm of the Spirit. I know I do. Thank you. Thank you for you doing it unto us by showing the examples you showed. You rebuke. You're still rebuking, Father. And then you turn right around and give us the authority to rebuke. We can do it in love. Thank you, Father. We can do it in charge as well. Thank you. Thank you for the examples. And I'm sure there's many, many more in your scriptures. But we just thank you for the pieces that you gave us, the little morsels and the tidbits that you gave us today. Thank you. Keep on rebuking. And we will keep on rebuking. Thank you for reminding us of that authority that we have. You know what we all stand in need of, Father? And we thank you for meeting and superseding every need. Continue to chasten us, reprove us. I keep hearing that. Thank you, Father. We just thank you. Thank you for going forth before us today. We loose our angelic hosts to guard us in our steps and our travels throughout this day. We just give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Have your way. Have your way. We surrender to your will. We surrender to your rebuke. And we surrender to the authority that you've given us to rebuke. Thank you, Father. It's all about you, the King, and your kingdom. As we go about this week, we thank you that you already know what's going to take place. Have your way. You already know what we're going to face. Have your way. We thank you for your tender love and your kind mercies and your, yeah, whenever rebuke comes. It's all in love. We thank you. My mind keeps going back to that word. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I speak his shalom peace to you, his blessings. Continue to chase you down and overtake you as you continue to honor him with your life. Honor him with your life. Surrender your body unto him continuously as a living sacrifice. Holy, set apart, and acceptable unto him. That's our reasonable service. That's the least we can do. Thank you, Father. And we will be transformed, not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Help us to get in your book so our minds can be renewed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for covering us with your divine protection. Hallelujah. Thank you for healing our bodies, touching us, manifesting healing from the inside out. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You are Jehovah. Our healer. Yes. Rapha. That's who you are. Our healer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know what we stand in need of, and we just thank you. We pray this prayer as we close out in your name, in the name of your son, Yeshua. Amen, amen. And to you, Father, be all the glory. Shalom. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you.